Well, good morning, everybody. I am delighted to be with you again. Good to see everyone. And thank you for praying for us, those of you who do, from time to time. We appreciate that. And and these four Sundays that I have the privilege of being with you, today, next Sunday, and then there's a gap. You have another speaker coming here, and then I'm going to be in Vancouver that day. And then I'll be back again for another two Sundays. So I look forward to that as well. And during those Sundays, I want to bring some messages from the Gospel of John in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you don't mind turning your Bibles to John's Gospel this morning, I'd appreciate that. I got a feeling I don't have this mic in the right place. Is it okay? Okay, that's good. All right, we're going to read from John chapter 1 this morning. And just before we do that, just let me give you some background information. You may already know this, but it's good to refresh our minds because we need to see the importance of the things we're reading from God's Word this morning. And you know these four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one of them is giving us a different viewpoint of the Lord Jesus. It's like Matthew sees Jesus from over here, and Mark from over here, and Luke from over here, and John from somewhere else. And they're giving us their own viewpoint of how they see the Lord Jesus. And one simple way of remembering what each one is telling us, because the picture that each one gives us is really tremendous and helps to draw us to see the kind of person that Jesus really is and was. Matthew is telling us, concentrating more on Jesus as a king, and he's concentrating more on what Jesus said. That's the emphasis of Matthew. When you come to Mark, he's thinking of Jesus not so much as a king this time, but as a servant. And Mark is very concerned about what Jesus did, the things that he did. And then when you come to Luke's Gospel, he is thinking of Jesus as the Son of Man. And what Luke is concentrating on is what Jesus felt. So we've got this picture of what he said, what he did, and what he felt about things. So next time you're reading the Gospels, bear those things in mind. But when you come to John's Gospel, you get a different viewpoint altogether. And this is one of the most majestic and wonderful books in all of the New Testament. I've been reading through it just recently again, and I'm very excited about it, I can tell you. John's concentrating not so much what Jesus said or did or felt, but who he is. Or who he was. He's showing us the Lord Jesus as literally the God-man. Now people, that is very important for us. Because when you come to think of who Jesus is, and the fact that he wants us to trust him completely, and put our lives totally into his hands, then it's good to know that we can do that with utmost confidence. And I want to say to you this morning that when we think of the Lord Jesus and you and I being in relationship with him, let's remember that Jesus is completely trustworthy. He is completely trustworthy. You can trust Jesus with everything you are and everything you have. And we're going to learn a bit about that this morning. But just before I get into the sermon and forget about reading the word, let's get to read it for ourselves, shall we? Because this is the most important bit. So we're going to read from chapter 1 of John, from verse 1 down to verse 18. Although I'll be referring to other verses as we go through. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or did not overpower it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." Now these are, you'll agree with me, these are incredible words. There's a lot of stuff to think about in those verses we've just read today. And when I think about sharing some things with you today, ladies and gentlemen, it's my prayer that every one of us will go out of this service today knowing what God wants us to do, knowing how this relates to our everyday life, and how what Jesus can mean for us every day, and how we can go into this new week, indeed into the rest of our lives, and be proving the reality of the things we've been reading this morning. So when we look at these, the first verses of the chapter we've read, we're thinking, of course, of the Lord Jesus, whom John describes as the Word, the very expression of everything that God is. That's why Jesus came, to reveal God to humanity. Everything that God is, we find in the Lord Jesus. And the thought I want to mention from the first five verses that we read this morning is that here we've got what I'm calling an unshakable foundation. An unshakable foundation. Something that we can build upon with utmost confidence. Now notice what we read about the Lord Jesus here. We find that he's come as the Word. He's come to be the expression of God to us. He's come to reveal God to you and me. Now this is John's whole message. This is what John's going to be teaching us right from the beginning to the end of his gospel. This is his whole message, who Jesus is. And he's going to be demonstrating it over and over again. For example, if you go down to verse 34 of the chapter we've read from, he says, "I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." I've seen and testified this is the Son of God. You go over to chapter 5 and at verse number 17, and he says there, Jesus is saying, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." And then you can go on right on to the end, to chapter 20. I'm just sharing these verses to illustrate what I'm saying right now. In chapter 20, and down at verse number 30, it says, "Therefore, many other signs Jesus was also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." In other words, John's giving us this incredible picture of who Jesus really is, and he's doing it for a very real reason. He's doing it not that you'll gain a lot of head knowledge about who Jesus is, but that you'll come to understand who he is and do something about it. That you will believe for yourself who Jesus is. You'll relate that to your own personal life and have life in his name. Jesus came, the expression of the life of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is incredible stuff. He did it so that you and I might come to the place of experiencing that life for ourselves. Amen? That is immense. That is hugely powerful. He came that you and I might see who Jesus is and take him into our own lives and experience, ladies and gentlemen, the very life of God as we live our lives every day. So, John therefore is revealing Jesus to us. When you read, John wrote different parts of the New Testament. He wrote this gospel, he wrote three letters in the New Testament, and he wrote the book of Revelation as well. And in his letters later in the New Testament, he tells us that it's coming to grips with who Jesus is, that this is how we receive eternal life. This is the crux of everything. If you read 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, and immediately following, and then in chapter 5 as well, he's showing us there, this is what he was all about. To come, that we would come, believe who Jesus is, and know him for ourselves, and know his power in our lives. So, when you think of these verses then, in the beginning was the Word was God. Now people, listen to me. This is who Jesus is. John's telling us that Jesus was God, the expression of God, the creator of everything. The creator of everything. All things, he was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. In the beginning. You know, it didn't all just happen. People, I want to say to you today, I stand with unapologetically on the fact that the God whom I love, the Savior whom I serve and love today, is the one who in 7 days, by his almighty power, created this world. He brought it all into being. And ladies and gentlemen, if that's not true and we're questioning that, you're going to have a lot of problems when you read your Bible. Jesus was God the Creator, who spoke the Word and it came into being. He is all powerful. And when you try to water all of that down, people, what you end up doing is you end up with a Savior who is less than who he claims to be. He is Almighty God, who in the beginning created all things. And so, and all things came into being through him. And then it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. The life of God, people, Jesus brought it into the darkness of our sick world. That light might penetrate into your life and mine and change us, transform us forever. Now I'm praying that we'll see how that relates to experience, and you'll apply it, and we'll all apply it to ourselves today. In him was life. The life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness. And praise God, the darkness could not overpower it. Are you excited about that today? The darkness could not put out the light. How do you define darkness? The simplest definition of darkness is the absence of light. The two can't exist together. If you go into a very dark room and somebody puts on just a little candle light, the darkness is dispelled. The thing you're most conscious of at that moment is the light. Darkness and light cannot exist together. In him was light. He came into the darkness. The darkness could not put the light out. Hallelujah. He lived as the expression of all that God is. He showed us who God is. He showed us what God is like. He demonstrated God's love for humanity. He went to the cross. He took the punishment for our sins. He rose from the dead, praise God. The darkness could not put out the light. I should think so. The darkness could not put out the light. And then when you come on from verse 6, then he shows us what we do about it. John's saying, or he's reminding us of himself. John's talking about himself now. He says, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness. He came as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. And then he says, talking about Jesus now, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Oh, I could say a lot of stuff about that, but let me go on to say this. He came to his own, to the Jewish people, to the people of Israel. He came to his own people. Those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Now I'm going to say a bit about that this morning, because right now, people, this is the crux of everything. To those who receive him, to those who believe in his name, what kind of picture does that conjure up in your mind, I wonder, today? Believe in his name. What's your picture of faith? How does that relate when you think about it? Does it mean that you just say, I read something in the newspaper yesterday, and I believe what the reporter is a man of a woman of good reputation. I believe what they're saying. Up here, I believe it. Or do you see faith as going beyond that? How does it really relate to experience? John gives us an illustration here. He says, to those who receive him, to those who believe in his name. To those who receive, it literally means those who take the initiative. It's an act of the will. They take the initiative and they say, Lord Jesus, I'm believing who you are. I'm believing in what you've done for me. And to demonstrate the reality of my faith, I'm receiving you for myself. I'm appropriating who you are and what you've done to my own life and experience. I'm not relying on anybody else's faith. It's between me and you, Lord. This is my response, Lord Jesus, to what you've done. Now, the Bible is full of illustrations of this kind of stuff. I remember reading just recently in the book of Kings and the prophet Elijah. And Elijah was having dealings one day. God had appointed a widow lady to look after him in a time of famine and need. And Elijah met with this lady, and he's saying, what do you have in the house? She said, I've got a bowl with a handful of flour in it, and I've got a jar with a little bit of oil. That's all I've got. Now, God had already told Elijah that this lady was going to look after him and supply his needs. And so Elijah said to him, you make me a cake first. Make something for me first from what you've got. And so we're told that she did exactly what Elijah said. She was obedient. He said, if you do this, the flour will never run out. The oil will never run out. You'll have enough to look after your family, yourself and your son for the rest of your life. Now, that lady could have questioned, she could have argued, she could have doubted, but what the Word of God tells us, she acted on the word of Elijah the prophet, and the Word of God tells us she made that bread for the prophet. The Word of God tells us the bowl of flour didn't run dry, the jar of oil didn't run dry. She had enough to keep her going. God moved in, she proved the faithfulness of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I need to learn today Some of us who have claimed to be Christians for a very long time, to what extent are you really walking in faith today? To what extent are you really believing? How real and fresh and vital in your life is the Lord Jesus this morning? Now, I want to illustrate this even more. If you go over in John to chapter 4, John chapter 4 and verse number 50, and here we're reading a story about a nobleman who had who came to the Lord Jesus and telling the Lord Jesus that his son was at the point of death and pleading with Jesus to come and heal his boy. It says, Jesus, in verse 49, it says, the royal officials said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Please, Lord," he's saying. He's pleading with Jesus. Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." Now, you could forgive that guy for standing and saying, "Lord, I need a bit more than that to go on, if you don't mind. I need a bit more evidence than that." The Lord just said, "Go, your son lives." Now, what do you read next? The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he started off. Ladies and gentlemen, that is one of the best illustrations of faith you'll ever read in the New Testament. He believed what Jesus said, and he demonstrated the reality of his believing by putting it into action. Jesus said, "If I go home," he said, the man saying to himself, "if I go home, my son will be well." So I just did it. He took Jesus at his word and he acted upon it. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what faith is all about. As many as received him, to those who believe on his name, he gave the right to be the children of God, to be the sons and daughters of God. And when I come to Jesus and receive him for myself, and I decide I'm going to believe on him and trust him, and then it's like the man saying, "I'm going to go home, I'm taking Jesus at his word." Then, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you this morning, oh, how I want to tell you this morning, you will then have no doubt as to who Jesus is. Amen? Amen. You will know for sure who he is. You will know that he is God in human form. You will know the reality of the risen Christ in your life every day as you take him at his word. And I want to encourage you to do that. To believe and take him at his word. Now, notice what the result of that is. When you go on to the next verses from verse 14 onwards. John says, "The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." What do these words mean? Grace is God's unmerited favor. What he's saying, when Jesus came, he brought to us what we did not deserve. He brought to us God's love. He brought to us everything that God is. He brought to us the possibility of us coming into relationship with God and knowing him for ourselves. He was full of grace, full of the grace of God, full of grace and truth. Jesus said in John 14, "I am the way, I am the truth. I am the truth." Wasn't it the late Dr. Nabil Qureshi who said words like something like this? I'm kind of paraphrasing him now, about if you start questioning what is truth, or you say there's no such thing as truth, then what you're saying by making a statement like that, it has to be true. There has to be something like truth, because you couldn't say that otherwise. Do you know what I'm saying? To say that there's no such thing as truth is just loopy. completely loopy. There has to be truth. Truth is truth. And praise God, Jesus Christ is truth. Amen. Totally reliable. He is full of grace and truth. He brought the heart of God to you, my friend. He brought the heart of God, and he is totally trustworthy. Full of grace and truth. Now, when you go on with that, he's saying how that John testified about him and so on. And he's saying, verse 16, from his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. When you learn and read in John, in John's writings, you get the impression that John just couldn't get over it. He just couldn't get over the wonder of it all. He's saying here now, from his fullness we have all received. Everything that Jesus is, people, listen to me. I don't care where you're at today, whatever's going on in your life, I just want you to know this, that in your situation, and it might keep going on for a very long time, I don't know. Some of us, the problems never seem to go away. But I don't care what's going on in our lives today. I want you to know, your life can be filled with his fullness. And grace upon grace, upon grace upon grace. Every day that you're living, there's more of it. The more you need it, the more it's there for you. Grace upon grace upon grace. Amen? Amen. It's there, these resources to draw upon in every situation of our lives. Notice this, and this is absolutely vital. He says, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Now, when you think about that for a moment, the law was given through Moses. What was the purpose of the law? The law was God's perfect standard. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. We all come short of that standard. I've told you guys here before, I know, about a friend of mine who used to say, well, my thing in life is I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. And when people say to me that kind of thing, as my friend did, I said to him, well, how are you getting on? I mean, it's a crazy thing to say. There is no human being on this planet, or has ever been on this planet, other than Jesus, who has kept the Ten Commandments. So what's the purpose of the Ten Commandments? Isn't that kind of cruel of God to bring us a law knowing that we haven't got a hope in the world of keeping it? What's the point, for crying out loud? Well, I'll tell you what the point is. The point is to make you realize you can't keep it. That's the whole point. The law was given by Moses to make you and I understand there's no way in the world we can live up to God's holiness. No way in the world, because we've all been tainted by our sin. So, and Paul tells us in the book of Galatians in the New Testament, that very, very fact, that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was given to show us, to teach us, that we're sinful, that we're short of God's standard. But hey, thank God it doesn't stop there, amen? But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The one who fulfilled the law perfectly. He brings to us the grace of God. What does the grace of God say to you and me? It says, I know you can't keep it, but I love you just the same. And my grace comes to you so that I can bring you to myself and make you what you cannot be by your own resources. Grace and truth came by Jesus. Everything I lacked, he has. He is. Everything I need, he is. Amen? And he brings it all to you and me. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The grace of God, people. God's God bringing to us what we did not deserve. God giving to us what we could never attain by ourselves. His amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Amen. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. What's the next bit? Was blind, but now I see. Thank you. Isn't that the truth? The grace of God, grace and truth were realized by Jesus Christ. So no one has ever seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, or the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. That's a very interesting word. The word explained, it means it's the word from the Greek word from we get the word exegete. You exegete a passage of scripture, you bring out the meaning. Jesus declared, he brought out everything that God is. He declared it to us. Jesus explained him. And the last thing I want to share with you today is because I want you to go away with this, dear friends, today, because it's so amazing. It's when John's pointing to the Lord Jesus down at verse 35 and onwards, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And two of his disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Now listen to me. Here's how you put faith into action. Here's how you can live with a vital, vibrant faith every day of your life. Not a head thing. A thing that's in your heart that you're experiencing day after day. He said this. He saw these two following him, Jesus did, and he said to them, "What do you seek? What are you looking for?" Jesus asking you that today. What are you looking for? What do you want me to do in your life? Where are you really at today? And they said, "Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." I love this. I really, really love this. "Come and see." And it says, so they came and they saw where he was staying and they stayed with him that day. They spent time with Jesus, in other words. They spent time in his company. And what was the result of that? And one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and he said to him, now he didn't say the summation of recent scholarship is this. The intellectuals are telling us this, that the results of the latest research is this. No, he spent time with Jesus and he came to his friend. He says, "We have found the Messiah." Are you getting excited about it? You got excited about going into another week and saying to your friends, your family, whoever, "We've found Jesus. We found the Son of God. We found who we've been looking for. We don't need scholars. We don't need to read books. We've met him for ourselves." Hallelujah. We found the Messiah. Do you know what, folks? If you call yourself a Christian today, you need to spend time with Jesus every day you live. That's why you've got this amazing book, the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. That you might meet Jesus there. You might read of him there. You might hear what he says. You might take him at his word. And like the guy in chapter 4 or chapter 5 we read about, you hear what he says to you each day and you start moving forward. Amen? You start just going with Jesus. You start just moving ahead, trusting him. People, you want to live life on the cutting edge? You guys over here, you want an exciting life? I'm telling you, this is it. Trust me, this is it. It doesn't get any more exciting than this. Taking Jesus Christ at his word, believing what he says, move in obedience, and you will prove without a shadow of a doubt that he is who he said he was. That he is completely faithful, that he is full of grace and truth. Amen? Think about it. Let's pray. Lord, we just rejoice in who you are today. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for all that you can mean to us. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray, God, that you will create within every heart in this room today a hunger, a longing to know you better. Who, because we've received you and believed who you are, trusting you every day, spending time with you, Lord Jesus, that these things would become more vital and real than ever before. We worship you, Lord. Bless us, we pray, as we go on our way today. In your precious name, amen.